To give a huge shout out today to all of the volunteers. Man, when I was a kid, Vacation Bible School was a yawner. I'm just telling you, it really was. But this thing was awesome. And the technologies, Matt and LaDonna Stevens brought some cool stuff. We had a shark swimming around in the open air in the foyer and chasing some other fish. The kids thought he was going to eat it, but it didn't really work out that way. But it was so cool. And we had so many volunteers. For giving your time. My wife was worn slick from her efforts with doing it, and it just... It's like investing in the stock market, except there's a guaranteed return. And you don't get it right away always, but the fact of the matter is when you're ministering to kids, usually they give you back. Pastor Josh taking the pulpit last week. Judy and I were suffering for Jesus in Cancun. She earned a trip with her business, and we went down there and enjoyed 5 days of tropical storm. We literally never did see the sun the entire time. It was great. I got a windburn, and that was about. But it's good to be home, and I want to share with you today, by the way, the announcement about the Hope Intro. Please, if you haven't come to that yet, please do. It is off by me, then you can come and meet all the rest of the team. They're awesome, and but it's a good chance for us to get to know you. Crazy uncles, and there's all the rest of it, but we really would love to meet you and spend a little time. And I want to share some things with you. It seems like the response these days to my typical greeting of how's it going is one word: crazy. Crazy. We have schedules, we have responsibilities, we have opportunities, we have bizarre behaviors out there, we got crazy beliefs, violence, abuse, rage. I have never outraged. The people are so outraged, it just drives me crazy. You know, virtually every nuance of life, good and bad, seems to have gone on steroids lately. There are numerous areas, however, like technologies, communications, medicine, just to name a few, that have made our lives so much better and so much more convenient through unbelievably rapid developments and enhancements. For instance, just a few years ago, the idea of having 24/7 amazing entertainment at your fingertips would have been thought impossible. Today, it's normal. Everybody's accessing. Want to do instantaneously. It's crazy. On the other hand, you can communicate with anybody, anywhere, any time of day or night. Amazing. It wasn't very long ago, folks, and we were getting excited about a fax machine. Party line in our neighborhood and had rotary dial. We had a teenager in our neighborhood. Up. What about the pace of life? Yep, the description fits. Crazy. Politics, beyond crazy. The culture, well, crazy would certainly be a kind word for it. Public discourse, college campuses, and what passes for journalism, all I can say is these arenas are increasingly void of almost anything approaching common sense and wisdom. If you think I'm about to engage in 40 minutes of religious hand-wringing today, let me ease your mind. While many assert that the world is spinning out of control, I know that is not true. I could go on for several hours reminding us of the biblical be lying, however, if I didn't admit how deeply grieved I am by the gullibility of huge chunks of society who have succumbed to the prophesied demonic wave of deception sweeping them toward destruction. It is truly the most maddening and painful thing I have ever witnessed. It really is like watching a slow motion train wreck. Honestly, my feelings don't stem from some sort of a condescending worldview that's self-generated kind of ethic of the way people should conduct themselves. My agony, if you will, is based on an absolute certainty that the world will devolve into exactly the conditions we are witnessing as Scripture has unerringly projected. But at the bottom line, the thing that hurts is I'm watching it accelerate on my watch. I want to do something about it. I realize there's a tide sweeping that way, but I'm going to fight the tide until we are taken out of here. My purpose in these next few weeks is to share a few principles to help us keep our heads on straight and also to put us in a position to help as many friends, family, and those we encounter to meet Jesus as their Savior than meeting Him unprepared as their judge. The first issue I would like to address is what I want to refer to as the fear factor. Whether young or old, rapid change is disorienting. How many of you can say amen? Amen. Seriously, when things change around us, is the basis of that. It's an emotional response typically. But change incites fear of the unknown, of uncertainty about the future, fear of failure, and lots of variations rooted in our differences of personality, training, and beliefs. Was hampered in his leadership by his vulnerability to fear. So Paul writes this well-known scripture to encourage the young man he loves so much and says this: "For God has not given minds." He contrasts the work of two spirits here. Number one, the spirit of fear. This is not just any kind of fear. This refers to the fear of a man. This is a huge factor in our And I don't know about you, but I have found that worrying about you don't get to be who you are. Your opinion has to be the fear of being misunderstood, the fear of not running with the popular group, you don't even have to be real smart in that case. The problem with most of us is we're not smart enough to figure out how that we can move in the So we live in this place of always wondering if we're okay. If someone is struggling with a same-sex addiction, you've got to be real careful to speak the truth to them. There's so many social landmines all day long. This is in the notes, so I'm going to get back to the notes. How many think that'd be a good idea? In Timothy's day, he lived in Ephesus, of course, and this was a place of pagan worship. They had 5,000 temple prostitutes there. The Temple of Diana was a wonder of the world. Out of all the visitors that came to that temple. So prominent people in the city of Ephesus resisted the church and its leaders because they called out the tied the hands of the demons in some cases and delivered people from demons that were part of that whole situation. And so there was a lot of pressure coming down on young Timothy. Apparently he had a soft character, a soft nature. He was kind of a mama's boy, maybe we could say. Because we hear his grandmother and his mother basically had such huge influence. We don't hear about a dad, and although he might have been in the picture, but we do know that mom and grandmom were godly people and raised him up in the fear of the Lord. And so he might have had more of a soft nature. And here he go to plant a church. It's a difficult mentality. And all of the powers that be were literally engaged in trying to stop them from undermining their trade system there. And he was being demonically persecuted. And so he but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want to say that to us today. God did not call us to disappear into the surroundings. He did not call us to be benign. He called us to be salt and light in the culture. There's people that need preserving, and there's people that need illuminating. There's things that God wants to do that cannot be done by people that are afraid of their own shadows, afraid of what everyone thinks all the time. It's just a crazy thing when we become in bondage to the people we're supposed to serve. And you can't serve them if you have to pull every punch and every word has to be vetted before it can be spoken. You see how you can't hardly say anything these days without incurring the wrath of ungodly people. And it's just that way. But it's not a new problem. And this verse was not just given to us so that we wouldn't be afraid of this or afraid of the dark. I want to hit it head on because it is one thing that just literally binds people to a lesser self. Remember, the fear of man has its roots in demonic power and deception. And it displaces the appropriate fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Talking about, I'm just so afraid of him. It's an awe. We kind of experienced that this morning as Charity was leading us. We had moments there where our spirits were opened up and we just, oh, God, you're so awesome. That is reality. More real than the seat you're sitting in. More real than the plan. He is reality. And so the idea here is the Lord wants to have inhabit his people in such a sense that we have an awe of him. Because when we have an awe of him, got. I wonder how long it's been since somebody's looked at us and said, I need what you've got. There's something about boldness that's beautiful. Something about the Spirit of God on our lives that makes us desirable. God, help us when we're ashamed. Power, love, and a sound mind. Let me finish this thought. The Spirit can immobilize and torment this demonic spirit, this fear of man. It can make us Now, I want you to hear me on this. We live in the most connected generation in history. But loneliness is epidemic because it's so shallow. We text. But we don't know how to talk. We don't know how to bare our hearts to people. We don't know how to get in. Blew me away. Researchers have determined from data that loneliness will affect your longevity to the same degree that smoking 16 cigarettes And since they said it, it must be right. You know what I'm saying. But I can promise you this, that loneliness will isolate you from the very things that God sent to bless you. The fear of man. Enough. The fear of all the things that isolates us. And when a man isolates himself, the Proverbs say he seeks his own way. When a person is isolated with their own thoughts, they're easily How's that working out for you? You're not the source of answers. You know, it's crazy how people do that. But it's only a break in the action. And when you get something in I know people that literally go to seed with their own ideas that they're afraid to share because they know they're crazy. And this is something that God revealed to me in such a powerful way years ago. The body grows by that which every joint supplies, Ephesians 4:16. I don't have the whole package. But the fear of man can help me or can keep me from cooperating with the corporate wisdom and blessing and gifting of what's called the body of Christ. It's huge when we understand that I have a little piece, you have a little piece, we all have a little piece, and when we bring those pieces together, we have the whole deal. Now, let's move on to the second spirit in this picture. The Holy Spirit. He is power. Equip us to function naturally with these three attributes. These are fruits. These are natural things that God does to us and through us. Simply yielding to the Spirit of God will cause us to experience these life-changing traits. They enable us to live as Jesus lived. power and love are pretty self-explanatory, but the sound mind might bear some further clarification. It carries the direct translation of safe thinking and denotes good judgment, disciplined thought patterns, and the ability to understand and make right decisions. That includes the qualities of self-control and self in a sound mind. On the other, the preceding verse is critical. Stir up the gift of God which is in you. This verse simply reminds us that it's our responsibility to take the initiative to stir up the fires of our own soul. The closeness and intimacy of our relationship with Jesus animates the working of the Holy Spirit as explained in verse 7. So when I stir myself up, what were we doing this morning in worship? That's a whole other thing to be a worshiper. Singing, working, whatever. Worship isn't just music. It's a life poised toward God. In the practical, in the spiritual, in the financial, in the social, in the sexual, whatever chapter of life you're talking. He didn't empower it. And we're praying for blessing on it. It'd be a curse if you know what I'm talking about. Some of us have been trying to say, let this thing live before you. And God says, I have nothing to do with that thing. That's not in the notes either, but how long have you been praying for a blessing on that thing? Is there any blessing on it or not? You might not want to have a funeral for that thing. Sometimes blessed subtractions in your life are God. I think I better get back to the notes. Remember, Bible reading, worship, are all critical. You can't just focus on one. You know, we have five food groups or something like that. There's a bunch of food groups. You're not going to be healthy if you don't have a balance of those things. You can't just take one vitamin. I'm a big vitamin C man myself. That's all I take. And, you know, just but she killed herself on vitamin C. It was the answer to everything. You can't disappear. Well, I'm a Bible reading guy. I just read my Bible. I just read my Bible. I don't run. Well, that's great, but the Bible says you should do the that causes you to be fruitful as a believer. The Bible literally is plain about this in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew mind, you didn't hear it if you didn't do it. So we might want to take stock of ourselves and see if we are doing the things necessary to stir up our spirit. A lot of us have got a lot of good residue in there from the things of God, our experiences in God, but we need to stir it up from time to time. We need to give it out, you know, so God can replace it. Some of us have been having the, Lord, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, mentality. He filled it up a long time ago, but it got stagnant. You might want to pour that out and see if you can get some fresh juice. You know what I'm saying? Okay. The second issue I want to do or touch on here for the next few minutes today, and this could be a huge long one if I really got into the details, but the second issue I want to touch is in regard to the prophetic time clock. As the saying goes, forewarned is forearmed. Here's my point. Let me give you an illustration. If I'm on a trip, let's just use that for an example right now. If I'm on a trip and I know I've looked at the map and I've consulted MapQuest and I know where I have to go, what roads I'm to impact and or interact with and take along the way, then stress lowers. I'm in a place I've never been before, but every turn I make, it confirms to me that I'm on the right track. That is what prophecy does for us. We've been told so many things, and we're gone because I know that I know that I know that I know we are on track. You know, people today are afraid of so many things. You know, we've freaked out about North Korea for a while. We freaked out about Iran. We spent a lot of money trying to fix that. That didn't get fixed. We got people today that literally will cry at the drop of a hat over 0.1% of an increase in temperature. Here's the problem. I know that we're not going to choke out. See, I said, well, we like to keep it at 68 in the summer. environmental policy. People are freaking out over climate change. It changes about 3-4 times a year, folks. It always has. And city, although sometimes I kind of wish they would. But bottom line is, we can relax. Are making huge amounts of money. The whole global warming thing and the whole climate change thing basically is a redistribution of wealth program. Bottom line. I know some of you have grown up being told in school fear of man made me not want to say that. Seriously. But I'm telling you, you don't need to be playing around with that stuff. It's a distraction. Just say amen. Let's practice. This verse reminds us that it's our responsibility, as I said, to take an initiative to stir up our soul. And then we look at the prophetic time clock. This is the following are just a small sample of the many passages addressing the subject. Taking these verses to heart will prepare believers for dealing with the absurdities and the craziness of the days just preceding the Lord's return. Knowing these things should cause us to rejoice rather than run scared when we see them begin to be fulfilled. Luke 21:24. This Jesus said to the guys, these things will the generation that sees these things will not pass . They'd been talking about the temple. It was so awesome. And he says, one stone will not be left standing on another. They saw that happen. And what happened then was the nation was literally dispersed throughout the whole earth. The Old Testament had talked about a day when they'd be gathered back together and the nation would reconstitute. In 1947, that happened. I remember sitting in the living room with Derek Prince. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but Derek, with tears in his eyes, said, "I saw the day when they first raised the Israeli flag over our nation." 1947, 48. Then in 1967, it was made official. They were recognized in one day, as per the scriptures had prophesied. Before the actual thing happened, more than that actually, about 1,500 years in some cases. And yet all of these love and a sound mind comes from knowing where you're going and whom you're going with. The language was amazing. It told about the trampling of Jerusalem until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. This syncs up with the Old Testament prophecy telling the same story about a nation being gathered from the nations again in the last days. As I said, these prophecies began to be fulfilled in 1948 and made official in 1967. Luke 21, 25 and 6. These verses allude to the changes that that word literally means having no way out. Without religious powers of our day remind me that just such a quandary, which is the other meaning of the word, is very significant. It's a quandary. When you get down into even in our local politics, you know, our national politics, we have literally got an impasse . How can two things be right? Stop and consider that the other person may have a point. Well, these things are talking about the perplexity. And we're just talking about America. You can go to Zimbabwe this morning and you'll see the same thing. You can go to Ethiopia today and see the same thing. The prime minister there is a born-again child of God. Our director there is very close friends with him. Next time I go, I get to go meet the man. And the bottom line is that there is a lot going on out there, and God is putting lights in dark places right now. And we're just, you know, we got to understand that these are times when God is trying to place folks in strategic places so that they can be effective for the kingdom of God. And it's an exciting moment. But it said, you know, the perplexity and the quandary of it all, it's a frustrating Luke 20:21, 34 through 36. These verses, however, really give us the main practical takeaways. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be go through these, because folks, I believe that it is a natural thing for us when things look crazy and it's just coming at us like a flood and we're getting under the pressure of that, there are certain escapes that we look for that take us into a bad place. The first of these looks very benign, the word carousing. Carousing has a connotation in some sectors, but basically the word simply means it represents wasteful self-indulgence, amusement and diversion. Especially those forms that are not harmful in themselves. This is what gets most Christians. I have never seen a time when people felt like they had to entertain their children 24/7 lest they be bored. And then those kids grow up. And they can't hardly do a day's work at the office without getting on their Game Boy. Or their games, whatever form they're using. They've got to play games because that we play games all the hours of the day and night. I've seen marriages break up over this, folks. But they are a sin when you displace the proper things in order to do them. We had people in our church in Phoenix. I never will forget. I love this family. They were cool. And they would come to me every year for a while and say, "Pastor, we'll see you in the fall." I said, "Where are you going?" "Well, we'll be on vacation. We're going to be going to the lake. We're going to be going to the mountains. We're going to be this. We're going to be that. We're going to be the other thing." I said, "Guys, let me just tell you something. When it says seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you, it wasn't just for somebody else. Let me just tell you, I'm going to prophesy to you. That's a natural understanding I have, but I'm going to say it like it was a prophecy. Your kids will be unchurched. You've told them what's most important. Well, we need to take them to Disney World. We need to take them to Disneyland. We need to go to the Grand Canyon. We need to go to the mountains. I get it. It's important to do those things. But it's even more important to make sure that they understand what the thing is. That's what this is coming to. I have all kind of hobbies I love. I could play. But you can't let good things be the enemy of best things. Jesus deserves my best, not my leftovers. Immediately, because it belongs to the Lord. It's His. Scripture is very plain about that. And it doesn't matter if we live in an age where everything is whatever. Where my ideas and what I feel is more important than what God has said. Folks, on Judgment Day, God's not buying into that. And in the meantime, I cut myself out of many of the blessings of God because I'm displacing truth with my opinion. To God's desire. Mine must be submitted underneath that. Or it becomes an idol to me, or it becomes this carousing here that causes my heart to be weighed down. Sunday morning on Sunday when the neighbors are pulling the boats out of the garage and heading for the lake and you're trying to get the in the scripture. There's a rest time. There's a time to get away and recalibrate. All of that's very important, but please understand me. When our lives begin to be centered around our leisure stuff and our activities or our games or whatever it might be, we are in trouble. And it will weigh us down spiritually. Second one here is obvious, drunkenness. This escape is obviously behavior which is highly discouraged and numerous. Big, and it's not only just drinking wine or whatever alcohol. It has to do with drugs. It has to do with all kind of things that intoxicate us. When you're intoxicated, you are handcuffing your will in a way. You're handcuffing your ability to say no. Literally means to divide the mind. It refers to distractions. That would preoccupy us to the extent that the day of the Lord could come upon us unexpectedly. Which fights you to believe in the sovereignty and the goodness of God. Almost like you have to be on guard all the time. I'm worried about this. As if you worrying about it's going to fix it. I understand worry. I understand anxiety. All of that I understand. But it all has to be submitted under the umbrella of God's love. Need of before you even ask. I preached this incredible sermon, the birds of the air. And for nature, and yet somehow we figure that those of us he's created in his own image are going to have to think. Job, that's why we do the things we do. That's why we're diligent. All of that's important, but the bottom line is that. With it is weighing me down. It makes problems bigger and God smaller. We need to reverse that. What do you think about all day long? I can't wait to get to this one. Next week we'll talk about it. It's the third one of these things which talks about meditation and